So.
Jamie had done a wonderful presentation. So what I try to do is present the analytical underpinning. Okay, so what's just behind this? Okay, so we have a lot of economic theory, right? So what we try to do is say, what is the most fundamental about our economic system or about the life system? So what's the from the very very basic assumption? So maybe we can think all life system, including our own social society, we have to extract resources to compensate our living, right? Compensate our life. So the mathematically, the simplest way to represent it. So we want to sustain ourselves. So, but we know that even if we don't do anything, we have to maintain life, there's a diffusion process. To compensate this diffusion, we have to extract resources. These are diseases, resources, right? And disease diffusion. This is not something new. This is actually the standard theory in biology, okay. For example, it's most famously written in What is Life in by Schrodinger, okay. And this now becomes the standard. So there's nothing new about that. And the second, we not only just like James said, we need to extract resources, but the total cost of extracting resources has to be smaller than what we gain, right? What we gain, okay. So how we can represent it? Here there's a trick. It's not a trick. It's a standard in mathematics. So when we are facing a stochastic process, something uncertain, it's often easier to represent in the deterministic equation. For example, we all know this air, right? Each molecule they move randomly, but there are some trend. There's some more at macro level, there's some pressure or the temperature, they can be better represented by heat equation, or we call Fourier equation. And mathematically, they are much easier. So the same thing, so here we say, okay, here is a stochastic process. Now we represent it with a deterministic equation, okay? And this is the one, it's the deterministic equation represented. And again, this is not something strange, this is standard. We all know there's a very famous physicist called Feynman, Richard Feynman. And the Richard Feynman, his most important result is called Feynman path integral. I mean, why his result is so important? Because in quantum mechanics, there are a lot of uncertainty. Not only in human life, they're also in physics. And he found a way to average the uncertainty or probability. And the formula in all, he's of course deal with his problems, but this his method becomes so general. And now it's being used everywhere. And in our life, we call it the Feynman-Katz formula, we represent it in this way, okay? It's a standard method, okay? So the details we can work out later, we can discuss later, okay? But again, this is a standard result. And with this, actually, a standard result, and we have to add economic condition. Which means the cost here, C is a variable cost. We have two parts of cost. One is a fixed cost, one is a variable cost. And this is the fixed cost, and this is variable cost. We said that for a system to be viable, the maximum variable cost can be just have to be less than this, the resource we gain minus cost. So these give us an initial condition. And we can solve the, sure, thank you. We can solve this problem, economic problem, and get a formula of this. First, we would like to emphasize, because we said we are this association for evolutionary economics. So where is the evolutionary theory come from? And it's from here, right? Because this is an evolutionary equation. We see here that we know Newtonian mechanics is F equal to ma. A is d squared x over dt squared. It is not an evolutionary process. That is why the general equilibrium theory cannot go very far, because it is not an evolutionary theory on the very low basic ground. But here, this is an evolutionary theory, because time is one-dimensional, okay? One-dimensional. So this is an evolutionary economics. Now we can solve the variable cost. It's an analytical solution. So all our results, we can actually compute exactly whatever the result come out. It's not simulation. It's not a qualitative illustration. It's an analytical solution. And of course, in an economic system, we not only concern about fixed cost, variable cost, but we concern about total return. We want the return to be positive. So, but with fixed cost and variable cost and the output, we can calculate the return. We can calculate the return. So this is an analytical theory. And the theory is concerned about the fixed cost, the discount rate, the R discount rate, the output, and the duration of life. Okay, when we solve the equation, we need the duration of, the T is the duration of production, okay? So this put all these factors together, just like Joseph has said, this short-term monetary policy change affect long-term output. Why? Because when we change one factor, say change R, we have to adjust K, adjust T to make higher return. So when R change, the required fixed amount investment change and the required duration change. So as a result, this theory is an institutional economic theory, right? Because we see under different kind of conditions, the different level of fixed investment, the institutional investment, and the different forecasting we need to make, different level of planning we need to make, and we need to control. We have to certain control over uncertainty when we different institutional structure different. So that's why all these factors, the important factors different speakers talk about, they all come together into our just framework. So for sure, just so a lot of, for example, like Giuseppe and Jose Phillips, the result actually can be explained from this framework. Now we just go to like Jamie and I concerned about how the long-term resource, the scarcity, affect our decision process from our framework. So how we model that? Just Jamie said that when resource is very abundant, so we use a lot of resources, the production cost will not increase because there are so many low cost production facilities. But when resource becomes scarce, if you increase demand, for example, you increase demand, then the cost will be higher. For example, right now, before we use this most land-based conventional oil, right now, one choice is that this Gulf Coast, this is the deep sea oil, right? Their cost, not just financial cost, the fixed, the physical cost are much, much higher, okay? And the other is, of course, oil sand. Their physical costs are also much higher. So when we model it, we say, okay, that's L. When the resource is abundant, this L is very small. So LQ means with the increase of output, the total diffusion level will not increase much. But when resource scarce, then the collision rate is very high. If we increase demand, then the cost will increase a lot. Okay. Then we, under this different scenario with different level of scarcity, we try to see what should we, how should we invest. Okay. Now let's just, because it's an analytical theory, we can calculate very, very easily. Okay. That's the under three level of a level abundance. The first, this one, is very, very abundant. Resource very abundant. You see, when resource very abundant, we make a lot of investment. The fixed cost is very high, and as a result, we have to produce a lot to make high rate of return. But the rate of return is very high. If our demand is high, it is very high. And this level, the third level, is the resource is very, very scarce. And in this kind of environment, we can only invest a little bit fixed cost. And the highest possible return is very low. This means our living standard is very low. But anyway, it's sustainable, right? Because it's in the positive area. Then we might say, okay, in the past, the resource always be abundant, so we keep increase the output level very high and the living standard very high. But can we do that in the future? Now let's suppose we keep the current institutional structure with same level of fixed cost. And with same level of fixed cost, so when the resource become a little bit scarce, it's okay, right? We maintain still positive rate of return, but it's lower. But when the resource really, really scarce, then we can never pull out into the positive territory. Because as a society, the build up of fixed cost takes a long time, and the change takes a long time. So we often try to say, okay, that's fine, because you see, when the resource becomes scarce, we're still maintaining positive territory. So we keep delay the necessary change. And just Jamie said that we do not want to sacrifice our living standard. What do we sacrifice our children, right? We just get away with our children. But just like Jose and Philip said, but there's a long-term consequence, right? The fertility will drop below. Okay, thank you. Drop below. Can I just take some time? Because I'm the last one, right?
Yes.
But maybe taking the time. If you are interested, we can talk about
it. Well, maybe if you can conclude, so we can take away question, right? So sure. You can explain a bit more. I appreciate it.
Sure. Okay. So I just completed that. Okay. So if we change, then so there are always consequences, you know. It's not to say, okay, we just, when the resource is scarce, we say we make some clever policy choices and can avoid all these big problems. We cannot avoid this big problem. Okay. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Thanks very much. I know it's a very